Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby, live on your radio. This is the broadcast for the 25th of May. It is a Monday. And we want to wish you all a happy Memorial Day, ladies and gentlemen. We are live. Our goal always is to promote God, family, and country. Our goal to protect life, liberty, and property. And our goal is to reject revolution and stand for peaceful restoration. Ladies and gentlemen, I get that it's frustrating. I get that you believe a tyranny is going on in America. And I get you patriots that are saying, hey, we've done everything we can. And I understand your complaint, but I also disagree. You haven't done everything you can. It's amazing to me how if you want to promote porn, you get millions of dollars. If you want to promote the sacred cause of liberty, you can't get a penny. Thus, we got to fund it ourselves. You know, the patriots want to jump from one extreme to the next. We got to be patient. We got to look at it as the long haul. And we got to use the principles that made America great to make it great again. Any other plan is ill-advised, to say the least. With that in mind, Dr. Scott Bradley is with us. His goal is to preserve the nation. He's got a book and a collegiate series out for homeschoolers and, well, anybody who's into collegiate-style education. And you can learn about that at freedomsrisingsun.com. That's freedomsrisingsun.com. You got webinars weekly. You got his book and his collegiate series. And, I mean, there's so much information up there. It's startling. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, Scott, and happy Memorial Day to you and your family, sir.
Well, thank you very much, and I appreciate the invitation to gather on this Memorial Day with our friends in the radio land.
All right, Kirk Crosby's with us. Kurt, we want to go to your first story about, what, election fraud?
Well, surprisingly, Sam, there's a little election fraud out there. It's so shocking to believe that's the case, but that's what the headline reads. Headline from WorldNet Daily, Democrat election judge pleads guilty to stuffing ballot box. Subheadline, fraudulent votes for party members comprised as much as 22% of total cast.
Well, it reminds you of what Obama says on that commercial that I put together. It's nice that we got the Democrats in charge of the elections there. Scott?
Great point.
You know, don't get me started. I guess I'd start with my comments with we have absolutely polluted the election process. I really truly believe that when we lose the elections, we lose the country. There's all sorts of subversive things, and, you know, we could talk about that are going on in this nation that are horrid, but the election process has got to be kept pure, and the people have got to have confidence in it. And what we've done to this, everything from our automated voting machines that have been proven to be so easily hacked for almost no cost at all, no verification whatsoever, the idea of motor voter, the idea of mail-in ballots, these kinds of things are absolutely destructive of the American way, and I think we've got to go back to the old paper ballot, the count them on site with multiple eyes on them, you lock them up, you take them, and you bring them to another location, collate them together, and there's a paper trail with everything, and it's something that's got to be verifiable. And unless and until we do that, I think there's a lot of people out there. I can't tell you how many people have talked to me that actually believe we've already lost the election process and that it has lost its integrity. And consequently, they believe that nothing we can do now will save our nation. That's how desperate some people have become. And I think we've got to restore that integrity to our voting system and process. And it can only be done with a manual, paper, eyes on, local review. It's kind of like government. You start at the we the people level, and from there up, it's got to be built on a sound foundation. And without that, we're in deep trouble. And right now, we are in deep trouble. And this little indication about stuffing boxes, for crying out loud, it's never been done. I know nobody's ever tried it. But the fact is, you can prove it if you have those kind of safeguards in place.
But you know what, though? I don't see any real accountability for this. A low-level person might go to jail, and then we find out they got some home arrest or some posh kind of whatever for a short time, and then they show up later in some other governmental position or some, you know, they get tossed to some bigwig revolving door job of some kind somewhere. I don't really see any penalties or accountability that means much on these cases at all. I see all the good guys going to jail, like Ammon Bundy went to jail for 2 years, and then they found out he was guilty of nothing, according to the grand jury, and then the attorney gets tased in court for trying to free his client, and then the judge in the next case, because they won't let him go, they go case after case after case, and then basically the judge says, oh man, the FBI is guilty of all kinds of criminal activity, but there's no accountability. Ammon Bundy lost 2 years of his life for nothing. Now they're letting Hillary run around and all these other criminals run around. And then, you know, Steve Stockman's in jail. And I don't really see accountability for this. Do you, Sheriff? I mean, do you, Scott?
Unfortunately, your position is too accurate. I'm appalled. These individuals that are insulated from this by their status and standing, I mean, it's completely unheard of and even completely out of everybody's wheelhouse. Completely, they're not going to ever go after somebody that was so highly placed, let's say, about some of the travesties that went on in the unmasking and the issuance of FISA warrants and all those kind of things based upon falsified evidence on cooked things, issues that were paid for out of a political party. You know, you think everybody knows I'm talking about the Steele dossier and the efforts to spy on Trump and everything. I'm not saying that this hasn't happened and from both parties. I mean, I think both parties are equally guilty. I don't know if equally, but they're so close to being equally guilty that it's a complete travesty to say one party is more guilty than others. I mean, you look at what Richard Nixon did in the Watergate stuff, and he paid the price of the presidency on that, yes. But his crony, Gerald Ford, pardoned him of all sins known and unknown to make sure he didn't get any more punishment than that. So, yeah, there's stuff that happens. By the way, the Watergate thing was child's play, you know, Sunday school picnic, you know, walk in the park kind of stuff compared to what has happened in most recent years. But, yeah, you're right. There's got to be some very senior individuals that fall. And we as a people have got to recognize that they lose. If we continue to hold them on a pedestal, we're complicit in this thing. We've got to insist that they be chased down and brought to, you know, justice. Now, by the way, some of the things you mentioned, Steve Stockton, there are others out there that because of phony baloney trickery of election laws that are being punished. And I'll give you a couple of examples myself, and I don't want to bog down on this, but when I ran for the Senate, they have I've done it a couple of times, they have a questionnaire form kind of certification, I swear on a stack of Bibles kind of thing, how good you are. And there's a Senate committee that reviews this. At any rate, it is written with such lawyerly craftiness that if you tell the truth on one set of areas, you're going to be in trouble in another set of areas just a few pages back. I spoke to a lawyer that had personally been through this before. He had run for the Senate. And I said, how did you answer this? Because you're guilty one way or the other. And he said, to tell you the truth, Scott, what I did is I told them what I thought they wanted to hear. And it got to the point that he could have been probably found fault with. And so there's things that are in there. The shenanigans of the federal election law are so convoluted that innocent people are caught in the snare when they want to catch them in the snare. I personally was, and I think I know the source of it, and who was, I think the individual that I ran against in the Senate collaborated with the chair of the committee that was to review that to get me called out as being dishonest on my form and it caused all sorts of reviews.
Yeah, what they like to do is play the selective enforcement game.
They absolutely, and those that are in power continue to hold power. The election law is basically a law that protects incumbents. Now, okay, so I've probably said enough on that, but I do know that the craft of those that put this together is well conceived as a conspiracy to make certain that their establishment view holds sway. So,
amen to that. Hey, Kurt, are you expecting this election judge to go to prison?
Well, Sam, they say that he's possibly up for like 15 years, to go or whatever. But a little more detail on it, I thought it was interesting. So during the during the voting, if things weren't really busy, he would just go get in a cubicle and just kind of vote over and over. And he was paid by some different political consultants for different candidates, and that's how this happened. But
these consultants,
if we didn't
that
have
pay
the,
to play, are they all going to prison too, sir?
Well, I didn't see any part of that.
See, this is a
story,
massive across the country racket that President Trump brought up. Obama said, "Why are you whining about this?" And then Obama literally admitted to vote fraud, and then literally this goes on, and then they put the vote fraud team together to try to dig into this, and then of course. Donald Trump got so much blowback on it that he just, abolished the whole thing. I don't know why, but it was a cave on the president's part, as far as I can tell. We've got to create accountability here, folks, or you ain't seen nothing yet come November. We'll talk about it in seconds. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, when the cat's away, the mice will play. Sam's not really gone, but he did say, that I was supposed
Kurt,
to go ahead.
Maybe you can start something else on this, but are you aware that Steve Stockman's story is told in the New American Magazine, both in the print magazine and online? It's a very...
Yes, I am aware of that, and I say good for the New American. We're grateful for their stellar reporting on this. I wish they would have reported it sooner, but I commend them for being on the beat, sir.
It needs also, by the way, to be carefully read, because it is a convoluted story. and you can see how twisted, and everybody comes out of it going, who's on first and who's on second? I mean,
all you got to know about it is this. Steve Stockman, for standing up for liberty, got slaughtered by the manipulated deep state that has these convoluted rules intentionally to trap you, and then they exert this selective enforcement to get their enemies in trouble, and all the good guys skate. Just ask Hillary and Joe and others for details. But that's really the summarizing of the story. They literally intentionally used it against Steve and trapped him, and then used selective enforcement to basically put him in prison over it. It took him 4 grand juries to get it done. This is just out of control. Double jeopardy violated everywhere on this thing. But again, they'll stop at nothing. Lois Lerner at the IRS runs free. You know, I mean, it's just out of control, sir.
But you're saying right now, Dr. Scott, right now, there's a new article about it. And when I put it in Google and I put Steve Stockman, the new American,
it's not going to come up,
except
buddy.
Washington Post, New York Times.
That ain't coming up, sir.
You know,
newamerican.com. And you got to go down a ways on their homepage to the print magazine area. Click on Steve Stockman, crooked congressman or political prisoner, and it brings up this expansive article. Literally, Steve's health literally is cratering in the situation he's in. I mean, they've done everything in their power to make life as miserable as they can for him. Solitary confinement with a psycho guy. I mean, I'll read the article for crying out loud. I'm not gonna, it's way too long to try and review here, but I'm telling you, it is an incisive and expansive review of what happened, and the one fault I would find with it is that they tried to bring everything they could to light in an article, and most Americans' concentration powers and ability to read for detail, I think, are going to be a little bit taxed for it. I mean, you've got to read carefully.
Oh, there it is. I found it. I was going to say, speaking of concentration powers, I went to the page and I'm trying to find it. But
right,
it
so
is way down
com,
at the bottom.
And it's called Steve Stockman, Crook Congressman,
Crooked, or
Political Prisoner. Right?
Yeah.
Right. That's the one. Click on that.
Crooked Congressman.
Like I say, it's a long article, probably longer than they have on most of their online stuff. But it is a print article for their magazine, too.
And I commend them for the detailed reporting that's spot on accurate. They do a phenomenal job. You're right, though. They should have probably done on the web a series of articles to catch people up a little bit in little snippets. But again, I don't want to be critical of the good guys doing the right thing here. I'm just saying it's very, very twisty and turny. And as you wisely point out, it's very, very convoluted. But the bottom line is you got to know Steve Stockman, in my opinion, is a stand-up guy. And they've let out all kinds of people that are subject to trouble from Corona, except for they haven't let out Steve, and he's probably got the most justifiable case to be sent home.
Well, and then our buddy Kerber, they didn't let out, even though he got COVID, right, Sam?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, the good guys rot in prison, the bad guys go free. It's a typical class. But speaking of this vote ballot fraud scenario, I want to bring this up, though, because, look, you're looking at a very, very, very twisty and turny up-and-coming election in November for a variety of reasons. And there's a lot of stuff out there about it that you got to kind of take with a grain of salt. Some are saying President Trump's going to dig in and call off the elections and never leave the White House. And, you know, the Democrats say that now. The Republicans said that back when it was Obama days. And so you got to dismiss a lot of that. But what you don't need to dismiss is some of the things that are happening, Kurt, as you were saying.
Well, very good, Sam. So the headline reads, Michigan Gov bans travel to summer homes, but look where her cars are parked. Subheadline, Whitmer is on list of possible Biden VP picks. World Net Daily's got the piece.
What do you think, Scott? Do you think that Whitmer's going to be a VP pick for Joe Biden?
No, but I will just use this as a jumping off point, if you will. Whoever Biden picks as a VP, in my opinion, has a very, 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 probably the highest probability of any president we've ever looked at before of having his vice president become the president. I think whatever Biden picks, his slippage in the mental capacity, his age, I think that, you know, even applying the 25th Amendment, there's possibilities of things like that happening. So whoever he picks is got to be looked at as the likely president if they prevail in the 2020 election.
Do you think there's a chance that they will prevail?
You know, I look at so many of the things. I mean, I try and pay attention to this kind of stuff, as you know. And I look at the polls that are out, and I think, okay, they were totally discredited in the 2016 election. They showed the stacked deck, the twisted and perverse ways they came to the conclusions they did. But a lot of these perverse polls are saying that Biden has a chance. But honestly, anybody that has a half a brain, any gray matter whatsoever, has to look at the wheels falling off kind of program that they've got going forward with. And I think Biden really is kind of a placeholder to make sure that the establishment Democrat Party doesn't completely go out of business like the Whigs did back in the 1850s when they've completely lost any validity. I mean, the people, they just went out of business. And so Biden's there, and he's looking, and honestly, if he picks, I mean, we could run through the list of people he's looking at, and they really are kind of a wheels-off kind of thing. The wheels have fallen off the thing. They're off the tracks. They're out in the weeds. They're going off the cliff, whatever you want to say. But
other than that, it's not so bad. So who do you think will be the pick for Biden, number one? And number two, do you think that they will find a way to replace Biden?
You know, it's really still, in my opinion, got a high probability that there will be a brokered convention. Which means that they'll get in there and the people say, you know what, we can't put this guy up. I mean, he should be in a care center. I'm not sure he knows which race he's in, who he's running with and who he's running for or what position or even what his daily diet is. It's really bizarre to me that somebody that's disconnected from not just reality, but daily life could be put forth. So I think there's a high probability still. I'm not going to say it's a 80%, but it's probably around 50%.
Well, or he might just get sick and make it easy for them too. He might just say, listen, my health isn't good. I've had, met with my physician. I've got a unforeseen health deal that's starting to affect me. Or what I mean is there are ways for him to politely step aside too. The question is, will he do that or not? Don't know. Who might be put up in his place? Still don't know. Some are talking about Michelle Obama. Others are talking about some kind of Elizabeth Warren thing. Some are talking about the whacked out, in my opinion, Black Panther-esque Stacey Abrams. Some are talking about this Michigan whacked out governor, Whitmer. I mean, I don't even know who they would consider, but everyone they've got is just radical as all get out.
Yeah, they'll lose the election if they do something like that. But honestly, I mean, Stacey Abrams, you mentioned. I mean, here's someone that couldn't even win a governor job in her own state, and they're talking about her as the savior of the Democrat Party. I mean, come on, people. They're picking a bunch of people that have, if you look at their track record, it's abominable, and most of them don't even have a track record. So I think they probably would pick somebody.
Did you say abominable?
Yes, he did, sir.
Play on words, Kurt. You're quick. Okay.
But who do you think they're going to pick, Kurt? What do you think is going to happen? Are they going to
replace
Biden?
Well, I'm thinking Hillary and Obama. It'll be Clinton Obama, in the end.
Well, here's the problem. Hillary Clinton probably would not last through an election series either. Hillary Clinton has been slipping gears based on everything that you can observe. And I think that it's very questionable.
I think you should just quit talking about my wife like that. I think you ought to have some respect. She was the first lady. I think you ought to just quit behaving like that. What despicable behavior.
pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump heading to Baltimore shortly to take part in a Memorial Day ceremony there over the objections of that city's Democratic mayor. Baltimore is still on lockdown because of the coronavirus, and Mayor Jack Young said in a tweet yesterday that the president should stay home, saying a presidential visit sends the wrong message. The president, though, saying he's not changing his plans, and he and the First Lady will be there as scheduled. Millions of Americans have been venturing out over this Memorial Day weekend in some of the biggest crowds seen since the start of the virus pandemic. In Ocean City, Maryland, this family from New Jersey said they just simply had to get out and go to the beach.
We just wanted to get away, have the kids have some fun, and not have this ruin such a big holiday. We just wanted to get away from Jersey.
This is USA Radio News.
Balance of nature. Changing the world one life at a time.
I haven't gotten a cold in 2.5 years. My wife can't argue with my track record because she's seen me not get sick. My daughter got sick over Christmas. My wife got it about 3 days after she left. I went through both of them, didn't get sick. I tell people I like to think my immune system is armored up and I'm able to repel these simple, stupid colds. And if it isn't that, then what is it? Because I'd get at least a couple colds a year. And what has changed in the last 2.5 years? The only thing I can think of is I'm taking my fruits and vegetables, you know, the balance of nature.
Experience the balance of nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Start your journey to better health today by calling 1-800-246-8751 or by going to balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code USA.
PBS airing its annual Memorial Day concert last night, albeit being from a remote setting because of the pandemic. Many of the performances were actually archived footage. Here's Sam Elliott telling the story of one World War II veteran from a previous year.
I still wake up at night sometimes thinking about the guys. Every man that walked into those machine guns and that artillery fire on Omaha Beach that day, every man was a hero. What kind of person would I be if I didn't tell their stories?
Once one of President Trump's biggest boosters, Ann Coulter, is now tearing into him again, the conservative commentator is angry that the president is trashing his former Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Trump has endorsed Sessions' rival in a U.S. Senate race in Alabama. Coulter defended Sessions on Twitter and then called President Trump a moron, a blithering idiot, and a shallow, broken man. This is USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, can you believe those deplorables on right-wing extreme talk radio dissing my wife like that? She was the First Lady. Where's the respect? R-E-S-P-C-T, ladies and gentlemen. Scott, you don't think she'll make it, huh? You don't think they can just prop her up by the jukebox, buddy?
You know, they may. I think that if, regardless of who gets put in there, there is such a an agendized kind of a party machine behind this that I think that there'll be a protection and kind of a whatever happens will be directed by probably the New World Order people. I don't know. She's been on the payroll of them for so long. It's hard to imagine something different, but really, Michelle Obama would be another 4 years of you know, her husband, Barack. So, I mean, they really are kind of in a bad way. It would seem to me they're
in a bad way on one hand. On the other hand, they seem to always have a rabbit in the hat somehow, and I don't know if they stand a chance against President Trump or not. Here's what I'm convinced of. If we have a real election, it'll be a landslide in the favor of President Donald Trump. On the other hand, if they commit vote fraud, as they've been talking about, as they literally destroy the economy and pull the rug out from under it, using the Federal Reserve to spend us into oblivion, if they really double down and create this coronavirus fiasco, For example, they say Brandon Smith wrote an article saying the economic reopening is a fake. They're going to use this wave mentality to loosen up, make you feel better, lock you down in a couple of months, make you feel like it's going to get better and better. And you keep on that hope. But they'll be tightening the noose of tyranny. You combine that with Dershowitz's comments. We'll talk about that. Dershowitz doubles down, Kurt. And I think this relates. Go ahead.
Very good, Sam. The headline from WorldNet Daily says, Dershowitz doubles down, state can force vaccination if it's, in quotes, safe, end quote, acknowledges moral argument but justifies use of state police power.
So when you contact Trace and you basically monitor where everybody is, you force everybody to wear a mask. You literally contact Trace and test and isolate people, creating these, quote, concentration camps, et cetera, if you will, or quarantine camps or whatever. And then you literally, you know, force people to take the vaccinations and then you tank the economy. And then you blame it all on President Trump. It was his horrible response to this. We could have responded earlier. We could have done so many different things that would have let everybody stay free, Scott. People might be, they just might be, if the mainstream press manipulates enough, be duped into giving the edge to these radicals. They're using the coronavirus to kind of, have Joe Biden hide in his basement so no one asks hard questions too early. They'll forego a lot of the debates and everything else, and then they'll come out with a bold, simple phrase that, hey, Donald's driven you guys into a tyranny. Vote for freedom. And sadly, Americans are duped and controlled enough by the mainstream press to where that just might take the cake. Scott?
Well, let me just unequivocally state up front so no one ever doubts where I stand on this. Dershowitz is absolutely unequivocally, totally and completely, and I don't know how much more emphatically I could state it, wrong. Individuals are sovereign and autonomous. And if we step to that level, This is communitarianism on steroids, but communitarianism is Marx-like. Everyone under that mentality becomes basically a collective. This is the communist perspective. The individual is gone. If you can do this, you can do anything. You could, the Obamacare stuff, child's play. This is absolutely, okay, think about it for a second. Think about sexual assault for a minute. Think about what that entails. It's against one's will. It involves very intimate and invasive kinds of things that become so personal. And I look at mandatory vaccinations as a form of assault. Although it may not be sexual, it is equally, absolutely, completely, totally wrong. This is non-consensual, and if you think of sexual assault being non-consensual, this is non-consensual. This is very intimate. It is your body. It is something that ultimately, and that's not even talking about the fact of the lack of safety, the lack of verification, this idea that they're safe and effective is totally questionable. They have not been developed under those criteria. They've been developed under an extreme fast track kind of thing. They've been developed to make gobs of money for people. And I think back, and I've used this on your show before, of the 1976 vaccine movement that 47 million Americans received. More people died of the vaccine. More people were paralyzed of the vaccine than they were of the disease. And what we're tracking on right now is a complete herd mentality, not because I'm saying everybody's got to be vaccinated to herd.
That's a herd immunity, sir. Yep.
We have come to be a herd.
And I heard that.
Sheep or a bunch of cattle that are going through the pens that are being injected. We have lost America. And Dershowitz is playing right into the hand. In fact, he's probably one of the chief players of this.
Yes, he is. Now, here's the problem. Donald Trump was against vaccinations on the campaign stage when he was a candidate. There were three people that really kind of hesitated on the vaccine issue. Rand Paul, doctor, Ben Carson, doctor, and candidate Trump at the time, now President Donald Trump, they all were very hesitant on the vaccine question. Now, as far as I can tell, Donald Trump wants to push for this, what do they call this, Operation Warp Speed or something like that?
It violates everything constitutional. It violates everything this nation was standing on. It is an assault on individuality, an assault on the bodies of the people.
Amen.
It's non-consensual. And it, those that come up with this absolutely need to bear the full fire of the nation.
Amen. Now, it's been said that President Trump knows the vaccines aren't any good. He's just, you know, playing into the hands of those who believe vaccines are the only way, because he knows full well they won't come up with a successful vaccine. And he knows full well that he can delay it on this card of safe and effective and everything else. And, you know, he can put out information about the vaccines that let people know that they're not safe or they're not effective. And so he's playing into their hands to appease them for now, but he really won't go along in the end. And I pray that's true, but I have my doubts.
Let me tell you a very disturbing conversation I had with a physician. I can't remember if it was Friday or Saturday. It was this last few days. And this physician told me something that I got to tell you, when I was done and I talking to my wife, it was like I was a deer in the headlights. This was so absolutely disturbing to me. What he told me is that they're beginning human testing in Africa and South Asia right now with proposed vaccines. They're skipping animal tests. They're going forward with this. And the human beings, they're of a different color, a different ethnic, a different culture, are having them tested.
Let me remind you, they're still God's children, ladies and gentlemen.
Absolutely. This is so disturbing to me that this elitist attitude, oh, I'm a white guy in the United States that's a physician, that's a multimillionaire. We're just putting a few of these guinea pigs on the line. He told me of one case. He says, I don't know how it turned out because he was not in the middle of it. He has been contacted to help supervise these things remotely by technology, and he has not done it at this point. But he said one of the cases, one of the proposed vaccines that he had heard about that was being rolled out for human trials in Africa and South Asia, he said it went there and then it went radio silent. He says, my assumption is that they had some very bad outcomes, and that particular strain of vaccine is probably proven itself to be something they're not going to continue.
Yeah, in other words, the vaccines are dead, and so are the people they experimented on. It reminds me of the syphilis experiments back in the day on the blacks. It also reminds me of the experiments that they did to try to make sure people didn't have any babies and stuff like that. In the past,
they sterilized the people.
The sterilization of some of the mentally ill or some of the people who may not have as much cognitive,
capacity.
Capacity is the word I'm looking for that we might want. And they would suggest that somehow there's different levels of human. And I disagree with this whole satanic premise. We're all sons and daughters of the Almighty God, and He loves us. And I get this, you know, there's different intelligences and stuff like that. But we need to really understand what this vaccine is. Not only are they injecting people against their will for experiments, but it gets worse because they're using aborted fetal tissue in the vaccines, folks. All right, Scott Bradley's with us. Kurt would say, other than that, it's not so bad, huh, Kurt?
Great point, Sam.
Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. the solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The Strategy of Heaven Revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have studied vaccines for over 30 years. And I'm telling you right now, I've had on Barbara Lowe Fisher, vaccine, 909 Shot, used to be their website, now it's Vaccine Information Center. And these people and many others, we've had on Alan, who has been a vaccine attorney for a long time, Alan Phillips. We've had so many people on about how evil and satanic and perverted these vaccinations really are. They literally murder babies and use the baby fetal tissue, the aborted fetal tissue, in these vaccines. They use all kinds of chemicals that really can sterilize you so you can't have children, that do all kinds of things to people. And it's always a debate about how safe and effective they are. And when we say they're not safe and effective, they say you have no proof. The only proof that I would point to that's as solid as a rock is this. They have a vaccine injury compensation fund in your government. It's been going on since the 1980s, if you don't know. And what that means is when you have a vaccine problem, they don't let you go to normal court and sue the manufacturers of these vaccines. The vaccine companies, by government edict, are off the hook. You can't touch them. And then what happens is when you want to sue because you've been harmed by a vaccine, they put you in a vaccine court where there's flat-out secrecy. And then they award you money on the back end, paid for by us, the taxpayers, through the Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund. And it's already spent well over $4 billion. That's with a B. And they say that only 2 to 3% of cases even get reported and or litigated and or paid out. And so you look at all that and you go, wow. But the problem is they're committing fraud everywhere, and they literally want to force the jab on all of us, Scott. That's where they're headed with this. And this H.R. 6666, they put another six to make you feel good, I guess. Legislation even highlights that this is their agenda. They're literally coming out of the closet with their hostile agenda in your face, Scott.
Well, indeed they are. And this movement to compulsory mandatory vaccinations is something I personally have been through that process more than 50 years ago when I was in the service. I was one of those human guinea pigs. We were the first group that had been injected by whatever it was, and I think I figured out kind of the path it was on because of the long-term effects on me. But they, you know, it was like, oh, we're going to use these guys. They're the closest thing to human flesh we can find without violating human flesh. Fact of the matter is, I am offended to the core. Anybody that discusses this is diabolical.
Is that to the Marine Corps? You're offended to the core?
Yeah. You know, Sam, I don't know, Sam. Kurt is too quick this morning. So anyway, no, this to me is as offensive as sexual assault. And that you can put it right at that base level. It is non-consensual. It is your body. It is being injected with something foreign that you are not accepting. If they can do this, every single thing that they want to do in terms of medical care, in terms of controlling your life, in terms of running everything down to your very family, will be put at stake. And we need to resist this to the nth degree, and whomever stands for this and forces it is on the wrong side. And Dershowitz is on the wrong side right now, and they're using this flashy name that was on, like, wasn't he on Epstein's guest list? You know, Jeffrey Epstein? I mean, you know, come on, people.
Oh, yeah. It's out of control what we see going on here. And like I say, they used to run around in secret about their agenda, but now they're literally in your face. And I hope that President Trump's against them. I really, really, really hope President Trump's against them. And I'm worried about this next election. Not because I'm a fan of Trump, because there's nobody else but Trump and whoever the Democrats pick that's going to end up winning this thing. And now Pelosi's saying in the next stimulus they're planning to roll out. Kurt?
Well, she's saying bottom line is she wants a lot of money for what she calls, vote by mail. President Trump calls it cheating.
Well, we've kind of covered that a little bit earlier, because honestly, everything is at stake in terms of if we lose the vote, we lose the country. We lose this this issue of who's going to control our bodies. We've lost the country. Nobody controls your body. You are autonomous. In fact, you look at the Declaration of Independence. It's individual God-given rights. And the purpose of government is to secure God-given rights. This idea of the collective and all that kind of stuff is Marxist in its origin. It is not Americanist philosophy. And we have fallen so far just in the last couple of months. But you look what's happened since 2001 when we put everything from the Patriot Act and these indefinite detention things and military rules that they put. They're moving towards a military tribunal kind of oppression. It is absolutely astounding to me. And the people need to kind of get wrapped up around the axle a little bit about this. It's slipping.
Amen to that. Now, here's where I think President Trump is so naive. And I don't mean to be rude to him, but I'm just telling you right now. Here's the headline. Trump, quote, "I have a chance to break the deep state," writes Jack Davis in Western Journal. Do you think Donald Trump can be successful in the break in the deep state there, Kurt?
Well, I know this, that the Red Sea did open. Stranger things have happened. We could certainly hope for it. And at least out of my lifetime, I've never seen it from anybody else or anybody even close. And so if he's saying he's got a chance to break the deep state, then I say bring it on.
I pray he would. However, he's got to quit appointing deep state flunkies and cronies and insiders to every single thing he possibly can. He's got more CFR people in his administration than Obama had. I mean, it's astounding to me. If somebody, you know, you say, "Oh, keep your enemies close," you know, whatever. But you got to take them out of their influencer positions. I mean, these people are. If he really is trying to get rid of the deep state, these people are undercutting everything he's doing. They're insiders. It's like somebody said the other day, we're playing chess, and they're playing checkers.
And here's my response. Here's my response to this, Scott. I want you to think about this. And here's why I say that Donald Trump cannot and will not break the deep state. If the people obey God and turn to him and repent, if we have faith in God and we repent, then I believe he will protect us and heal our land, and I think we can break the deep state.
God will not.
That is correct. God will for a righteous people.
Right.
Okay. However, if we think we can break the deep state without turning to God, and if we think that a nation that has turned its back on God as a whole, now I know there's a lot of us that believe in God and there's a lot of us that are doing good, don't get me wrong, but if we believe we can break the deep state while we got our back nationwide, collectively, turned against God, you're wrong. And so God can break the deep state if we turn to him and repent without a doubt. But I'm telling you, another man can't break any deep state with the nation not qualifying for or justly deserving or obeying God's commandments to the point where he keeps his promise. He's promised us if we turn to him and repent, he'll heal our land and protect us. That's the only way to break the deep state, sir. The only, I'm going to say it again, the only way. Period.
I guess that goes right along with the whole calling churches essential. At least that's a
step
in the right direction.
I think he's doing great, but he won't get it done, and he can't get it done unless we the people all back this play. Is he on the right track to do so? Possibly, yes. But I don't think President Trump can do it. I think only God can do it. That's the point that I'm making. And I think that only God can do it if enough of us turn to him. And when it's enough, I don't know. I'm not God. I just know that he tells us what to do. And if we expect it to happen by trusting in a man, it isn't going to occur. And so I'm not downing Trump with this statement. I'm just saying he single-handedly can't do it. It's got to be a nation in repentance, Scott.
Well, you know, George Mason in the convention in 1787 said that nations don't exist in eternities, and consequently they must receive their rewards or punishments in this life. And if, in fact, as a people, we have become so irreligious and so unfocused on our eternal, you know, creator. You know, there's also in the scriptures, it says in many instances that God chastens whom he loves. And I think the Civil War was a chastening. I think that things had got so far out of whack, and we're still paying the price of the centralization of power at the national government and everything else like that right now. We are still being chastened, I believe, for the sins that...
Amen. And the sins of abortion is going to add insult to injury. So Kurt's point is President Trump in many ways is pointing us to the right things. And I agree, Kurt. But I don't think we can trust in a man. And if we depend on President Trump to do it, we're going to be sorely disappointed. Not that he's not doing in many ways a lot of good things. But people are going to have to follow the guidance that Trump is providing when he says churches are essential. What he really means is religious practice and belief and turning to God is essential, and the president's right on that. So my point isn't against President Trump. It's that we got work to do as the people. Kurt?
And I keep saying that we
couldn't agree more.
The ones responsible for everything that happens in this nation, and we have become so complicit, so complacent, so cowardly, that sometimes I think that a chastening is perhaps in the wind.
Amen.
Well, I will say this. You know, remember the time of Sodom and Gomorrah and the efforts that were, I guess you could say, on the, well, in negotiations, if you will. You know, so I would bring to the table the evidence of you two good men doing all you can to try to make a difference here in America. And I think there are more. I don't know all of them. I just know that there are more. And, you know, then all the good praying people of the world as well as America, you know, give me hope that, hey, there are better days ahead.
Yeah, and when we talk about breaking the deep state, you can go further and say, are we going to eventually break Satan's hold? And the answer is yes. Kurt's right. We will succeed. We will win. President Trump is doing a lot of things on the right side of this discussion. But we're going to have a lot of pain before it's over because of the wickedness of the people. And we have a bright day ahead that righteous people are getting together. We will not lose our liberty before the Savior comes. We will have the flag blowing in the breeze. I am convinced this nation shall endure. And so we've just got a tough road to hoe, and we've got to be on the right sides of the issues, and we've got to turn to God. We've got to repent and have faith. We've got to have a relationship with our Savior Jesus Christ. We've got to receive revelation individually and for families to see us through. And so my goal isn't to be play the negative card, but my goal is to play the realistic card and point people to where the real solutions are. And if you think Trump can help us, absolutely. If you think Trump's pointing to a lot of the right solutions, in many cases, yes. But it's going to take people turning to God, and God can make us free. Final word's yours, Scott.
Years ago, I came up with an aphorism, get close to the Lord and stay there. And that's the only way we're going to make it through this. The road's going to get bumpy, my friends, particularly if we don't wise up and start following the right path.
But I declare this nation shall endure. Ladies and gentlemen, George Washington had a vision about this. And I believe that we will be joined by righteous angels and we will preserve the sacred cause of liberty. Are you going to help us? God save the Republic. of the United States of America.